بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This evening, بإذن الله تعالى, this is going to be our sixth session, reading from حقوق كبار السن في الإسلام, يعني the rights of the elderly in Islam, by our Sheikh Abdul Razak, the son of Sheikh Abdul Muhsin al-Abad al-Badr, حفظهم الله. May Allah protect and preserve both of them. Our discussion tonight in this session is going to be the completion of those matters which one must be conscious of and be aware of, so that it will be a means of helping us to fulfill the rights of the elderly. And in the previous session we mentioned three of those things, and in this session tonight, بإذن الله تعالى, we're going to mention two more that the Shaykh has mentioned. Two more matters that one must be aware of, must be conscious of, must know about, and have in the forefront of your mind as a means of helping you to fulfill the rights of the elderly. Before we look at those matters that remain from the five points that the Sheikh mentions, we're going to look at some of the topics that we discussed last week from the questionnaire study guide number 5. Questionnaire study guide for lecture number 5. The first question being, mention the first of the five matters we must be conscious of as a means of helping us fulfill the rights of the elderly. The first of the five matters. What's the first matter that the Sheikh mentions? Now, Adil.
To be acquainted with the evidences.
To be? Acquainted with the evidences.
From the rights of the elderly in the Quran and the
Sunnah. Now, to be acquainted with the rights of the elderly that are mentioned in the Quran and in the Sunnah, which point to the importance of fulfilling the rights of the elderly. Yani those evidences that indicate to us the importance and the magnitude of giving attention to and fulfilling the rights of the elderly. This is the first matter that the Shaykh mentions. If a person is aware of what Allah has said in the Quran or what the Prophet ﷺ has mentioned in authentic hadith, which point to or indicate the importance of giving care to this matter, then this will be a help and an aid to us in fulfilling these rights and being consistent in doing so. The second matter, the author says, Al-Adilla, the evidences have a great impact upon what? Yani knowing these evidences have a great impact upon what? Naam, Abdul Wali. Naam, they have a great impact upon the believing souls. And nufus al-mu'mina wal-kulub al-sadiqa, and sincere hearts. Yani a person who has iman and whose heart is sincere, these evidences of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran concerning the importance of these matters, and it will affect that person's heart. It will affect their soul. Naam, it's probably better to keep it back there in case somebody comes in late. JazakAllah khair. The third question, list the three stages or degrees of achieving al-khair. Yani the three stages or degrees of achieving goodness as mentioned by the author under this first matter. Three stages, he said, of achieving al-khair. Naam, Adil.
First one was to hear what does Allah want you to do?
First one is hearing, knowing, becoming acquainted. Naam. With the matter, yes.
Understand it properly.
The second is understanding. Yani, understanding those evidences. Naam.
And the third is to apply what you know and understand.
And the third is to apply what you came to know and what you understood. Yani, first becoming acquainted, and then understanding, and then the application. Yani, the ultimate goal of it all is what? To apply it, to act upon it. The fourth question mentioned the second of the five matters we must be conscious of as a means of helping us to fulfill the rights of the elderly. The second matter that the Shaykh mentions that will help us to fulfill the rights of the elderly. Second matter, very, very, very important. Yani this is the principle that yani in every act of worship, in everything we do, this is applicable. Now,
seek assistance from Allah and resort to Him aiding you to carry out this right.
Now, I'm seeking assistance from Allah and resorting to Allah to aid you, to help you, to support you, yani to fulfill this tremendous right, this tremendous responsibility, yani the right that Allah has placed yani for the elderly. Question number 5, mention a hadith. Yani the hadith the Shaykh mentions in Sahih Muslim, one ayah from Surah Al-Fatiha, which indicates the importance of seeking help from Allah. A hadith, first. Shaykh mentions a hadith that indicates the importance of seeking help from Allah. Anybody remember the hadith? And in the beginning of the hadith, na'am, the beginning of the hadith, na'am, fadl. Na'am, ihris. على ما ينفعك واستعين بالله نعم يعني the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said that a person should be diligent, should be eager and desirous of going after that which benefits them, and that they should seek help from Allah. And he also said, and don't يعني ولا تعجز, don't be helpless, don't feel helpless, don't be lazy in going after that thing which benefits, and don't be yani lazy in seeking help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Naam. And the ayat that the Shaykh mentions from yani Surah Fatiha is the ayat that is one of those ayats that we recite every day in every rak'ah of every prayer. Naam. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. Yani that you alone, O Allah, you alone are the one that we worship, and you alone are the one that we seek help from in order to yani perform that worship. Question number 6, memorize the dua taught by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, beginning with Rabbi a'inni. And if that's how the Shaykh narrated with that wording, Rabbi a'inni, in some of the more well-known narrations, Allahumma a'inni. Naam, Abdul Karim. Naam, Rabbi a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. Yani, O my Rabb, or O Allah, help me to remember you and to be thankful or grateful to you and to worship you in the best manner. And does anybody remember what Ibn Qayyim said concerning this supplication? He said that these 3 requests to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik, he said, na'am.
To remember yourself on Allah, on the tongue, and the thankfulness of
yani that, a'inni ala dhikrika is, yani obedience to Allah upon the tongue. Wa shukrika,
thankfulness and obedience of the heart,
is obedience from the heart.
Obedience of the
and worshipping Allah in the best manner is obedience of Allah upon the limbs. And these 3 aspects are well known to us as aspects of Iman, manifestations of Iman, that its root is in the heart, and it is expressed on the tongue, and it's manifested in our actions, the actions of the limb. All of this is a part of Iman, and these are various manifestations or ways of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani worship that is from the heart, which is the greatest worship, and then worship upon the tongue and the limbs of the body. Question number 7, list 4 things which the author says we should do when we hear of a fadila, an act of moral excellence or a virtuous deed. 4 things he said we should do when we hear about, when we come to know about any virtuous deed. What should we do? He mentioned 4 things. Very, very important to have consciousness in our mind of these things, he said, that we should request. Yeah. Abdul Wali, now.
We first ask Allah to assist us.
Ask Allah to assist us first.
And that He facilitated for us.
And that He facilitated, make it easy for us. Uh-huh.
And that He grant us success.
And that He grant us success, a tawfiq, to carry it out.
And then that He doesn't leave us to our own, even for
blinking. And then He doesn't leave us to our own self, to depend, to rely upon our own self, even for the blink of an eye. Yani, seeking Allah's help, asking Allah to facilitate our affairs, to make it easy. Because Allah is the one who makes difficult things easy, if He wills. To ask Allah for tawfiq. Because no matter how much knowledge, wealth, influence a person has, success in completing anything of good is from Allah. And nobody can be successful unless Allah makes them successful. And finally he said, yani, do not leave us to depend upon ourselves, even for a moment. Question number 8. Mention the third of 5 matters we must be conscious of as a means of helping us fulfill the rights of the elderly. The third matter that the Shaykh mentions to help us in fulfilling the rights of the elderly. Now, Fadl.
Calling to mind the fruits, rewards of honoring, fulfilling the rights of the elderly.
Calling to mind the fruits, the rewards, the benefits that are the result of giving care to these rights of the elderly and fulfilling them and being constant in doing them, rewards that will come to us both in this world and in the next life. Rewards of this world and the next life. And being conscious and calling to one's mind these rewards is an inspiration. It's a motivation to push a person to go after these great benefits, these fruits that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has for those who fulfill the rights of the elderly in this world and in the next life. Question number 9, the Shaykh, he said that Al-Birr and Al-Khayr and Al-Ihsan, yani goodness and righteousness and yani generosity and kindness towards the elderly, is among the asbab. It is among the means of attaining what? And he mentioned several things. The question says, list 3 of them. He mentioned 5 matters that this being kind and being generous and being yani concerned about, showing care for the elderly, brings about yani many benefits. These are the causes of many benefits in this world and the next life. And he mentioned 5 of them. At least 3 of them we should be able to remember. The first of them. Naam.
Adam. One gains the abundance of provisions.
Abundance of provisions. That Allah will increase a person's sustenance, their provisions in this world. Due to what? Due to their being kind and caring for and giving attention to the elderly, Allah will increase yani a person's sustenance in this world. Second thing he said. Naam. Talib, I can hardly see you like that.
Remove sorrow and grief.
Okay, that it will be yani due to it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove a person's sorrow and grief, the things that trouble them and that disturb them. Allah will remove this from them. Naam. Extending a person's lifespan. That yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will extend a person's lifespan yani due to their kindness, to their goodness, to the elderly. Naam. And another?
I have to hear that Allah subhanahu will remove the cause of distress and then also removing the actual trial, some trials that you might want to experience.
So what he said concerning this, he said, one, that Allah would remove those things that trouble a person, yani that cause them yani to worry, sadness and sorrow. And he said also though, separate from that, that Allah would turn away from them yani the trials and tribulations and afflictions that were decreed, and would turn away from them those things. And he also said that yani that this would be a means of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yani and yubarak lahu fi hayatihi, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fill their life with barakah, with a lot of good. With a lot of good. And the last question mentioned the hadith of Anas radiallahu anhu, which encourages maintaining blood relations. The hadith is reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, that encourages maintaining blood relations. The hadith of Anas radiallahu anhu. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, man sarrahu, and whoever will be pleased for his provisions to be increased and for his lifespan to be extended, فَلْيَصِلْ رَحِمَهُ, then he should keep ties with, keep good relations with his blood relations. These are some of the matters that we discussed last week. And tonight, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, after mentioning those 3 things, very important matters, from amongst those things that will be helpful yani to a person who wants to give care and give attention to the rights that Allah has legislated for the elderly amongst us. A person who wants to do so, these are things that will help them. These are things that will help them. First is, number 1, knowing the evidences from the Quran and the Sunnah that point to the importance of giving care to the rights of the elderly. Secondly, he said it is what? To ask for Allah's help, to seek help from Allah. Yani, and that's in everything of good that we want to do. And this, yani, for our topic here, yani, is in fulfilling the rights of the elderly, in giving care to it and being consistent in doing them. And the third thing he said is to call to mind, to be conscious of, to be aware of, to reflect upon and to think about any of the great benefits, the rewards, the blessings, the fruits that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has in store in this world and in the next for those who care for the elderly, who give attention to them, who are kind to them, who are gentle with them, who are generous to them, and who looks to their affairs to fulfill their rights. Naam. Tonight, inshallah, we're going to mention the last two matters that the Shaykh mentions, and then after that, bi-iznillahi ta'ala, in the next remaining sessions, we'll look at what he mentions concerning the actual rights of the elderly. So for tonight, inshallah, we're going to start on page, in the English translation, on page 51, I believe. And in the Arabic text, we're going to start on page 26. On page 26. The Shaykh, he begins here, yani after the completion of the third point, the third matter of those things which can help a person to give attention to and give care to and to fulfill the rights of the elderly, he mentions Rabian, number, the fourth matter. And تتذكر قاعدة وأصلا دلت عليه نصوص كثيرة من الكتاب والسنة. He said it is to remember, to call to mind, to bear in mind, to think about a qa'ida, yani a fundamental rule, a fundamental basic principle, which many textual evidences from the Quran and the Sunnah point to. Yani this principle, this fundamental principle, this rule, yani that many evidences from the Quran and the Sunnah point to, he said, Ala wa huwa kama tadinu tudanu. Yani, it is what has been said, and later on the Shaykh mentions this again, in which he has a footnote saying that it has been reported as a hadith, but it's not authentically narrated as a hadith from the Prophet. It is a saying that is confirmed by evidences from the Quran and Sunnah, that is, just as you treat others, so will you be treated. And in the same way that you deal with other people, that's the way you're going to be dealt with. So this is a principle, and it's a rule, that if a person thinks about it, it will help you, yani, to treat people the way you want to be treated. It will help you. Because if you know that the way you treat other people, that's what's going to come back to you, that should be an inspiration and a motivation and a help for you to be better. This rule is a general rule. And the Shaykh, under this point, he mentions some general evidences that support it from the Quran. And then he mentions specific evidences from the Sunnah. And I want to say from the beginning that the two narrations that he mentioned from the Sunnah are both weak. And the reason why I want to say that is because we want to, yani, be attentive to these affairs. But keep it in mind that the Shaykh begins by mentioning proof for this principle, for this rule, from the Quran itself, which is sufficient. Yani, if the Quran supports this, it's sufficient for us, even if the narration that is attributed to the Prophet ﷺ is not sahih. Nonetheless, the Quran supports this principle and makes clear that this is something that a person needs to give attention to. That is, as you treat others, then so will you be treated. The Shaykh says, وَاللَّهُ جَلَّ وَعَلَى يَقُولُ هَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ. Yani, Allah, the Majestic and the Most High, He says, is there a reward, a recompense for doing good except, yani, that the reward will be goodness returned to you. Yani, is there any reward for ihsan except ihsan? If a person does good, good will come to them from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As far as the people that may be, yani, it may go one way or another. But what comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who controls all affairs, for the person who does good, good comes back to them. They will receive a reward of good for their goodness. This is mentioned in Surah Al-Rahman, 55th Surah, 60th Ayah. Then the Shaykh mentions, في المقابل يقول, and likewise, yani, the opposite of this is mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Rum, 30th Surah, 10th Ayah. ثُمَّ كَانَ عَاقِبَةَ الَّذِينَ أَسَاءُ السُّوءَ. Yani, then, he says, the end result for those who do evil will be evil. The end result, the consequence of those who do evil will be evil. That's what will come back to them. So the Shaykh says, فَالْإِحْسَانِ جَزَاؤُهُ الْإِحْسَانِ وَالْإِسَاءَةُ جَزَاؤُهَا الْإِسَاءَ. So the one who does good, their reward will be, yani, a good reward. And the one who does evil, then the, yani, result of that, the consequence of that is that which will come to them in return will be evil. ولهذا جاء في حديث يرفع إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وفي سنده كلام أنه قال من أهان ذا شيبة لم يمت حتى يبعث الله عليه من يهين شيبه إذا شاب. The Shaykh says, it is for this reason that it has come in a hadith that has been attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَفِي سَنَدِهِ كَلَامِ. And generally, this type of expression, fi sanadihi kalam, is an indication that there is some weakness in the narration. Yani the isnad, the chain of narrators, there is some kalam, meaning that the scholars of hadith, they have spoken about the isnad, yani that there is something wrong with it, that there is some weakness in it, that there is some defect in it. It is my understanding, and Allah knows best, I think, generally this type of expression is used when the hadith has a weakness that's not a major yani weakness, yani that completely eliminates yani this narration, yani that's how it seems to generally come, yani that there's some weakness in the chain of narrators for this hadith. Unfortunately for this hadith, it's more than just yani some kind of weakness, but the Shaykh, he mentions in the footnote, this is actually originally a lecture that the Shaykh gave, and then later on some students transcribed it. They wrote it out and they brought it back to him, so he looked at it, he examined it, and he made some additions and changes and whatever so that it could be printed and published. But he left it basically in the form that he delivered it as a lecture. And so he even left this report in it the way he delivered it originally as a lecture, even though he brings clarification in the footnote to it after that the grade of this hadith, yani, or the condition of this hadith is yani, he says it's reported by, well, the first, the hadith is man ahana dha shaybatin, and whoever humiliates, degrades, belittles an elderly person, lam yamut hatta yab'athu Allah alayhi man yuhina shaybahu idha shaba, then he will not die until Allah will send someone who will humiliate and degrade him in his old age, if he, yani, he gets old. And Allah will return that to him. The Shaykh, though, he says here, and in any case, yani, the real point that I want to emphasize here is that the proof for this principle or this rule that we want to call to mind is in the Quran. Yani, there is no reward for good except good. And the one who does evil, the consequence will be evil. So that's the clear evidence. Whether it's with the elderly or young people, whether it is with whoever. Yani when you do good, good comes to you, and when you do evil, then the consequence is going to be evil. In any case, so the Shaykh mentions here as a specific evidence, whoever humiliates, degrades, belittles, yani treats with contempt an elderly person, then that person will not die until Allah will send someone to humiliate them in the same way, when they got old. In the footnote, the Shaykh brings to clarification to this narration. He says this narration is reported by Ibn Abi Dunya, Balagan, yani, that the person who he heard the narration from, yani, used the expression Balaga, yani, Balagani. Yani, the narrator said Balagani. It came to him in that kind of way. And it's mentioned in the book Al-Umar wa Shayb, the 15th narration, the Shaykh says, وَفِيهِ مَا عِنْ قِطَائِهِ Ibrahim ibn Sirma وَقَالَ ibn Ma'in كَذَّاب خَبِيث. Yani the Shaykh Abdul Razak, he's saying in his footnote concerning that narration that is reported by Ibn Abi Dunya in this particular book, and he says, وَفِيهِ مَعِنْ قِتَائِهِ Ibrahim ibn Surma وَقَالَ ibn Ma'in كَذَّاب خَبِيث. Yani that this hadith, along with it having a break in the chain, in qita', in addition to it having a break in the chain, which is the reason for a hadith to be considered weak. There's a break in the chain. Yani there's a narrator missing. So we don't know if that narrator is reliable or not. So that means the hadith is weak. But he said in addition to that, it didn't stop there, but there's also a narrator in the chain, Ibrahim ibn Sirma, and Ibn Ma'in, one of the leading foremost scholars of hadith in the history of Islam, said about this narrator that he is kadhab khabith, yani that he is a real liar, a filthy liar, yani kadhab khabith. And that kind of language, generally, even though there might be other scholars of hadith who may have described him in a different way, but yani that's sufficient for us to be very concerned about accepting this narration as being attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Shaykh then adds in the footnote another narration which is not as severely defective. He says, وَوَرَضَ مِنْ حَدِيثِ أَنَسِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ مَرْفُوعًا, ascribed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with the wording, مَا أَكْرَمَ شَابٌ شَيْخًا لِسِنِّهِ إِلَّا قَيَّضَ اللَّهُ لَهُ مَنْ يُكْرِمُهُ عِنْدَ سِنِّهِ, that there's no young person who honors an elderly person due to their age. And he honors them because they're elderly. Recognizes that they have a right to be respected, to be honored, to be cared for. There's no young person who honors an elderly person due to their age, except that Allah will appoint someone to come to him and to honor him when he becomes elderly. The Shaykh, he says, concerning this narration that is reported by At-Tirmidhi and Al-Bayhaqi in Shu'b al-Iman, and he says, وَحَكَمَ بِنَكَارَتِهِ الْأَلْبَانِي رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ فِي الدَّعِيفَةِ 304. He said, this hadith is reported by At-Tirmidhi and Al-Imam Al-Bayhaqi, رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ, and he says that Shaykh Al-Albani declared this hadith to contain يعني نكار, that it is a hadith that's munkar. And there are different definitions. Scholars didn't agree on one definition of a hadith as munkar, but what's clear is that it's weak. It's clear that it is weak. One of the more common definitions that has been given for the hadith as munkar is a hadith which is narrated by a weak narrator. And it contradicts that which is narrated by a strong narrator. And not only is the narrator weak, but they're contradicted by somebody who is more reliable than them. And what is important here is that the principle that we're talking about, even if these narrations are not reliable, strong narrations, the principle that we're talking about is confirmed in the Quran. And so a person has to be thinking about how they treat others, especially those people who have special rights. And from amongst the people who have special rights are the elderly, people who are older. Whether they are leaders or people of influence or authority in the society or not, the people who are older, they have rights. They have special rights because of their age, and we should pay careful attention to those rights. I just want to mention quickly that it is well known that there's difference of opinion amongst the scholars concerning the use of hadith which are weak. There's a difference of opinion. Yani there are those scholars who categorically reject the idea of the permissibility of using a weak hadith. And it can't be used under any circumstance. And there are other scholars, legitimate scholars from the people of Sunnah, who are real scholars of hadith, who hold the view that it's permissible to use a weak hadith, to narrate a weak hadith, but with conditions. And Al-Hafiz ibn Hajj al-Asqalani, rahimahullah, has mentioned from amongst the conditions of those scholars who hold the permissibility of narrating a weak hadith, from amongst its conditions, is that that hadith should not be a hadith that has a major, severe weakness. It should be a hadith that has a weakness that's any small weakness, not a major weakness. Second thing is that if a person narrates a weak hadith, it should be coming under a ruling, yani it's reported about something that a person is encouraged to do. For example, a person is encouraged to pray Salatul Qiyamul Layl, and that's confirmed authentically in the Quran and in the Sunnah. So a weak hadith comes encouraging you to pray Qiyamul Layl. And for example, saying maybe there's a reward for the person who prays Qiyamul Layl. The hadith is weak. But the encouragement to perform the night prayer is clear from the Quran and the Sunnah. So even if that reward is true or not, it doesn't matter. Allah encourages us to do this prayer, so there's no harm in that case in narrating such a hadith. And the scholars who say it's permissible to narrate a hadith that's weak, make conditions. And from those conditions is that the act itself that one is encouraged to do should be something that is confirmed by reliable evidences from the Quran or from the Sunnah. A third condition that they mention is that a person at the time of narrating a weak hadith should not hold a belief that this is authentically a statement or a report from the Prophet ﷺ. But rather, they narrate it because of the possibility that it's weak, it doesn't have a major weakness, so it's possible that it could be true, especially since the act itself is confirmed in the Quran or in the Sunnah. So a person doesn't narrate it and say the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this, believing that he really said it, but perhaps it could be. A weak hadith doesn't mean that it's false, it means that it's questionable because it has some weakness, so we're not really sure that it's authentic. Some of the scholars also said that it shouldn't be used in matters of aqidah or halal or haram, because those things, a person can't take a chance, so we have to be sure. Something is halal if we know that it's really halal, and it's haram if we know that it's haram. And our aqidah can't be based on something that is doubtful. So this is a brief discussion concerning this matter. Perhaps on another occasion we might go into a little bit more detail concerning this affair. But I wanted to mention this point simply because there is difference of opinion amongst the Ahlul Hadith. Some scholars say it is permissible to narrate, not to act upon what the weak hadith reports to us, but rather to act upon what's confirmed in authentic sources. And that weak hadith is just bringing us some encouragement to do something or discouragement from doing something that is confirmed otherwise from other sources. So if that's the case, and it doesn't have a major weakness, and we don't, definitively attribute it to the Prophet ﷺ, but we know that it is not certain, then some scholars said it's permissible. Otherwise, other scholars from the past and from the present hold that it's not permissible to narrate a weak hadith. If a person knows that it's weak, then suffice with that which we know is authentic. That which we have from authentic hadith are sufficient. So there's no real great need for narrating weak hadith, and Allah knows best. This is the summary of the difference of opinion. So this, the purpose of this discussion is for us to kind of like put into context, the evidences that the Shaykh mentions here, the general evidences, which confirm this principle of, that good comes from good and evil comes from evil, so a person should be careful how they deal with others, how they treat others, because it may come back to them, good for good, if a person does good, expect good in return, and if a person does evil, then evil may come back to them. It's just, to keep it in this context that there are clear evidences supporting this rule, and that there are some other evidences that are mentioned that are from the hadith which are not confirmed. Tayyib, after this, the Shaykh, he goes on to say, so if a person, فَإِذَا كُنْتَ تَحْتَرِمْ الْكَبِيرُ وَتَرْعَى حَقَّهُ يسر الله تبارك وتعالى لك من يرعى حقوقك في كبرك جزاء لك من جنس إحسانك. If you show respect for the elderly and you guard and protect and observe the rights of the elderly, then Allah will facilitate for you. Allah will make it happen for you that there will be someone who will protect and guard your rights when you get old. And this is the reward that you will get, that will be like the good that you did. Just as you did good to the elderly, Allah will reward you by sending someone who will treat you well, who will take care of you, who will attend to you, and honor you. The Shaykh says, وَسَيَأْتِي عَلَيْكَ يَوْمٌ تَكُونُ فِيهِ كَبِيرًا مُسِنًّا دَعِيفَ الْبَدَنِ دَعِيفَ الْحَوَّاسِ تحتاج ممن حولك أن يرعوا حقك وأن يحترموك وإذا كنت مضيعا ذلك ما هم في شبابك كان الجزاء من جنس العمل وكما تدين تدان. So the Shaykh says that if you show respect for the elderly and guard and protect their rights, Allah will facilitate for you someone who will do the same for you when you become elderly, and this is the reward that you receive that is like the good that you did in return for it. And there will come a time when you will be elderly, when you will become old and your body will be weak and your senses and your hearing and your sight and so on will be weak, and you will be in need of those who are around you to protect and to preserve your rights and to show respect for you. So if you neglected and fell short in fulfilling the rights of the elderly when you were young, then the reward will be yani like the action that you did. Yani you will get the same in return. Or as the rule that the Shaykh mentions, كَمَا تَدِينُ تُدَانِ, yani the way you treat others, you will be treated the same way. He said that this is yani a sunnah madiya ma'luma. And this is a way that is ongoing, continuous, that's well known. وَالنَّاسِ يَعْرِفُونَهَا فِي وَاقِعِهِمْ تَمَامَ الْمَعْرِفَةِ. And the people know about this way, yani this rule, this principle, they know it from their real life experience. They know it well. وَيُشَاهِدُونَهَا فِيهِمْ وَفِي غَيْرِهِمْ. And they witness, they have seen it in their own lives and in the lives of others. Therefore, the Shaykh, he closes with this point. فَعَلَى الْأَبْدِ النَّاسِ لِنَفْسِهِ أَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى وَأَنْ يَقُومَ بِهَذِهِ الْحُقُوقِ وَأَنْ يَرْعَاهَا طَلَبًا لِثَوَابِهِ وَفَضْلِهِ وَإِنْعَامِهِ وَإِكْرَامِهِ. And therefore it is incumbent upon the person, the worshipper of Allah, who wants good for himself. Yani the person who wants good for himself, it is incumbent upon that person to observe taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to fulfill these rights and to guard and protect and preserve them, seeking, yani to do it, hoping for, seeking the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah's favor and Allah's yani blessings and the honor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani if a person knows that good comes from good and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given rights to the elderly, the person yani shows respect for them, honors them, cares for them, hoping for reward from Allah, seeking Allah's favor and Allah's blessings and the honor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows on those who do that which is pleasing to him. Point number five, and this is the final point that the Shaykh mentions concerning those things that can help us to fulfill the rights of the elderly. He says, أن نتعمل الحالة المباركة التي كان عليها سلفنا الصالح. Yani that a person examine carefully, study, reflect upon the blessed condition which our righteous salaf were upon. Yani that we look at, study, examine carefully the condition of the salaf as-salih. Yani those righteous people who preceded us, beginning with the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa radiyallahu anhum and those who follow them in righteousness. That we must look at yani their condition. What was their condition in terms of how they dealt with the elderly? He said, look at their condition, min adabin ma'al kibar. Yani how they observed good manners with the elderly. We need to look at this. We need to examine it carefully. And how they showed respect for them. احترام لهم وتوقير وتقدير. And how they showed reverence for them. And how they held them in high esteem. and how they fulfill their rights. We have to look at this carefully, examine it, study it. فَتَرَعَ ذَلِكَ الْأَمْرَ الَّذِي كَانَ عَلَيْهِ سَلَفُنَا الصَّالِحِ. And then in that case, after looking at this and examining their condition, the condition that they were upon, how they dealt with the elderly, yani the good manners that they observed and the respect, then as a result of that, we should then guard and protect and preserve, and we should follow their example. We should take them as a model for us in this affair. Yani the way that they dealt with the elderly. Yani the Salaf As-Sali, how the righteous predecessors dealt with the elderly. He said, if you were to look at, to examine, to read the books of the biographies, the lives of the Sahaba, radiallahu anhum ajma'in, and those who followed them in ihsan, and righteousness, and goodness, and excellence. If we were to be acquainted with, if we were to read and study the books written about the lives of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and those who followed them, we would find, he says, تَجِدُوا أَخْبَارًا عَذْبَةً وَسِيرَةً عَطِرَةً كَانُوا يَعِيشُونَهَا. And we would find stories, yani from the lives of the early generations of the Muslims, which are yani sweet in their taste and which are pleasant in their smell, meaning that these stories would be enjoyable, pleasant stories that we will read and we will enjoy. Yani when we read about how the righteous predecessors, how they lived their lives, particularly in reference to the way they dealt with the elderly. وَتَجِدُوا أَنَّ شَبَابَ الصَّحَابَ وَشَبَابَ التَّابِعِينَ فِي غَايَةِ الْأَدَبِ وَفِي غَايَةِ الْإِحْتِرَامِ لِلْكِبَارِ. We will find that the youth from amongst the companions, radiallahu anhum ajma'in, and the youth from amongst the second generation, the tabi'een, had the utmost, yani, good manners and respect for the elderly. فَتَتَعَلَّمْ مِنْ خِلَالْ تِلْكَ سِيرْ الْأَدَبِ الْكَرِيمِ وَالْخُلُقَ الرَّفِيعِ. So you then learn, yani from reading those stories, you will learn the noble manners and the lofty character, yani that we find in the lives of the youth from amongst the early generations of the Muslims. The Shaykh says, وَلَكِنْ مَنْ مَضَتْ حَيَاتُهُ وَانْصَرَمَتْ زَهْرَةُ شَبَابِهِ وَهُوَ مَفْتُونٌ بِمُطَالَعَةِ أَخْبَارِ اللَّاعِبِينَ وَالْفَنَّانِينَ وَأَشْبَاهِ أُولَئِكَ لَا يُمْكِنْ أَنْ يَتَعَرَّفَ عَلَى هَذِهِ الْأَخْلَاقَ النَّبِيلَةَ الْفَاضِلَةَ النَّبِيلَةَ الَّتِي كَانَ عَلَيْهَا سَلَفُنَا الصَّالِحِ الرَّيْئِيلَ الْأَوَّلَ الْمُبَارَكَ. He said, however, if a person's life, yani, passes by, and the best of the years of their youth pass by, while they are fascinated with, captivated by, reading about, and learning about the lives of the yani laibin, the athletes, yani the baseball players and football players and basketball players, and the fannaneen, yani the singers and entertainers. If a person spends their youth fascinated, captivated, yani engulfed in reading about these people of no value whatsoever. I don't know who are the famous singers today. I don't have a clue. But I wish that I could think of a couple of names just to make it, bring it home, so you could really see where we're at. Somebody has to help me. Some young people help me, please. Who's the most? No, I want to know who's the most famous singers. Oh, that's okay. It's not a guilty verdict. Now,
define famous by chance.
Huh?
Define famous, like famous because of.
Maybe somebody who's well known. The people everybody is talking about, these crazy dumb people.
Little Dirk.
Little Dirk? I never even heard that name before. Give me another one that's maybe more famous. Taylor Swift concert. I heard that name. There was some, wasn't that in Philadelphia recently?
Yeah.
What else? Give me another one.
Beyonce.
Beyonce. I heard that name for sure.
Elton John.
Elton John. That sounds like an old one from early, way back in the days. Okay, what's important here is what? These are names that most of us heard somewhere at some point. Some of them I didn't hear, I'll tell you the truth. But in any case, the point is, and if our lives, if we are captivated and we are engulfed in reading about these people's lives, well, this is a problem. This is a problem. If we know the statistics of the basketball players and the football players and their salaries and how much they're worth and who they are married to and who are their girlfriends, if we know all of that, Allah, that's a problem. And I'm not saying that to the people who are sitting here, because a lot of the people sitting there are old people, so inshallah we're not involved in that. But it's for everybody. Yani, it's for the person who's listening online or the person who might hear this recording. This is a problem. If that's what we are engaged in, instead of reading about the lives of Sahaba, and if we would ask the people who know how much that basketball player is contract and how many his or whatever, how many homes he owned and cars he owned and how many girls he have, and we don't know, if we can't name 10 companions from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, 5 young companions from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if we don't know anything about their lives, then there's something wrong with that. And in reading about their lives, there's no doubt, if a person has iman, that's going to inspire you. It's going to motivate you. It's going to move you. It's going to help you. And reading about these other people, wallahi, it's a waste of time. Reading about them, thinking about them, being concerned about them, wallahi, we don't need to know anything about them. They are useless. They are useless. Shaykh is saying here that whoever wastes the best part of their life, engaged in, lost in, yani captivated by, fascinated by these entertainers and sports figures and the likes of them, they will never come to know about this lofty, noble character which our righteous predecessors were upon, the first blessed generations of the Muslims. He says, فَمَا أَشَدَّ حَاجَتِنَا إِلَى مُطَالَعَةِ سِيَرِهِمْ حَتَّى نَزْدَادَ مِنَ الْخَيْرِ الَّذِي كَانُوا عَلَيْهِ. He said, oh, how great is our need to know about, to be acquainted with, to read about their lives, the lives of their pious predecessors. So that, as a result of reading about their lives, we will be increased in the good which they were upon. Because we would emulate them, we would be inspired by them and want to be like them. And then he says, وَمَنْ كَانَ بِهِمْ أَشْبَهُ كَانَ ذَلِكَ فِيهِ أَكْمَلُ. Yani, مَنْ كَانَ بِهِمْ أَشْبَهَ, yani whoever resembles them the most, meaning their righteous predecessors, whoever resembles them the most, كَانَ ذَلِكَ فِيهِ أَكْمَلُ. Then this beautiful, lofty, sublime character, manners, will be most complete and perfect in that person. The one who resembles the Salaf as-Salih most, he will be described more perfectly with this description, and the description of having manners and showing care for the elderly. He then goes on to say, oh, how beautiful is the saying of the one who said, قَرِّرْ عَلَيَّ حَدِيثَهُمْ يَا هَادِي فَحَدِيثُهُمْ يُجْلِي الْفُؤَادَ صَادِي. Yani, repeat for us, for me, their speech, yani their akhbar, their news, their lives, their stories. Oh, Hadi is the one who sings to the camels to make them move and to control their movement and their speed. فَحَدِيثُهُمْ يُجْلِي الْفُؤَادَ صَادِي. For their stories, yani the stories about the companions of the Prophet ﷺ and the righteous predecessors, it removes the rust from the rust-covered heart. And the translator translated as remove the thirst, and Allahu A'lam, it doesn't appear to be that is actually the meaning. But actually the meaning here, and Allah knows best, is that yani, reading about their stories, hearing about their lives, it removes the rust from the heart that has become rusted. The Shaykh, he goes on to say, and we're going to close with this, yani from the samples and the examples of this, yani the stories of the lives of the youth from amongst Sahaba and the Tabi'een, is that which is narrated in the two Sahihs, yani al-Bukhari and Muslim, from Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, where he mentions yani an incident in the lifetime of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Before I go to this final report yani that the Shaykh mentions, I want to go back to, there's a footnote here where he mentions and he added yani to this speech that he originally delivered, he adds when he mentions the point about the people whose lives, whose youth are lost in being captivated and fascinated and infatuated with reading about the lives of the sports figures and entertainers. He says, and the footnote, that it is from those regrettable things that sadden one, and from those things that cause a person to shed tears, that some of the youth actually violate the rights of the elderly. They don't know their rights, and they don't fulfill the obligation that is upon them towards the elderly. Rather, some of them perhaps might even go so far as to transgress against the elderly by verbally abusing them, or other than that, from evil behavior. And this is common amongst the non-Muslims. This is common amongst the non-Muslims, that they abuse the elderly, especially in these homes for elderly, and even in people's families. Yani elderly people are abused amongst the kuffar. And we seek refuge in Allah that this happens amongst the Muslims. He says that these young people, even if they are just a few, it is obligatory upon them to return to Allah, a sincere returning to Allah, to know the rights of the elderly and to fulfill their rights. And to yani remember, to call to mind yani that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching over them in the way that Allah deserves, that we be aware and conscious of His monitoring our situation before it is too late. How many were those who had in his house an elderly person and he didn't guard or protect or observe that elderly person's rights? He didn't fulfill yani the obligation that was upon him. So when that elderly person died and left from this world, yani he met that person who failed to fulfill their rights, met with a great amount of regret and sorrow for their falling short and for their neglect, their missing the opportunity to fulfill the rights of the elderly that were with them. The last thing that the Shaykh says is an example of the lives of the youth from amongst the companions of the Prophet ﷺ and the Tabi'een and those who followed them, is that which is reported in the Sahihain al-Bukhari and Muslim. And this hadith, yani, is narrated with different wordings, several different wordings in Bukhari and several different wordings in the Sahih of Muslim. And the Shaykh mentions that he mentions one of the narrations from Sahih Muslim. And the narration that he mentions here is from Sahih Muslim. So on the authority of Abdullah bin Umar, radiallahu anhumah, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, who said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said one day to his companions, أخبروني عن شجرة مثلها مثل المؤمن. Yani, inform me about a tree, its likeness is the likeness of the believer. And in some narrations, the likeness of the Muslim. And so on. The same meaning. فَجَعَلَ الْقَوْمِ So the people, those who were sitting with him, he says, جَعَلَ الْقَوْمِ يَذْكُرُونَ شَجَرًا مِنْ شَجَرَ الْبَوَادِ So they began to mention some trees from the trees that are in the desert. And they were desert people. قَالَ إِبْنِ عُمَرَ وَأُلْقِيَ فِي نَفْسِي أَوْرُوعِي أَنَّهَا النَّخْلَةُ He said, the idea came to me, to my heart, or to my soul, that the Prophet ﷺ is referring to the date palm tree. And the idea came to me that he's talking about the date palm tree. فَجَعَلْتُ أُرِيدُ أَنْ أَقُولَهَا He said, I wanted to say it. And to say that, is it the date palm tree? فَإِذَا أَسْنَانُ الْقَوْمِ فَأَهَابُوا أَنْ أَتَكَلَّمْ فَلَمَّا سَقَتُوا قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ هِيَ النَّخْلَةِ He said, I wanted to say it, and then I realized that the elderly, yani that the people who were around me were the elderly, yani they were all older people. He said, so I was afraid to speak, yani out of respect for them. I was afraid to speak in their presence. So when they remained silent, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it is the nakhla. In one of the narrations in Sahih al-Bukhari, yani one of the narrations of this hadith from Abdul Umar, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked about a tree that's like the... And the example of the believer is the example of a tree that is green and its leaves do not fall. And the people, yani, began to say, yani, it is such and such tree or such and such tree, thinking that it was this one or that one. Abdullah ibn Umar said, فَأَرَدْتُ أَنْ أَقُولَ I wanted to say, هِيَ النَّخْلَ That it is the nakhla. وَأَنَا غُلَامٌ شَابٌ But then I realized that I am just a young boy. فَاسْتَحْيَيْتُ So I was shy in the presence of these elders, who he had respect for. He was shy. He said, I realize I'm just a young boy. And I was shy. And then the Prophet ﷺ, so he didn't say anything, and the Prophet said, it is the date palm tree. In another narration, all these narrations are in Bukhari and Muslim, it says, فَإِذَا أَنَا أَصْغَرُ الْقَوْمِ فَسَكَتْتُ He said, I looked around when I got ready to speak, and I realized I was the youngest, the smallest of everybody sitting there, so I remained silent. And in another narration it says, فَإِذَا أَنَا أَحْتَفُهُمْ Yani I was the youngest of them. In one of the narrations, this narration in Bukhari, where Abdul ibn Umar says that I realized that I was just, I looked around and I saw that I was a young person, and so I was shy to speak. In the translation of this hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, the translation is not complete. When it came to this point in the hadith, he said that I was shy, and the Prophet ﷺ then said it was the nakhla. But in the actual text of Sahih al-Bukhari, it says in a narration from Shu'bah, rahimahullah, it has the added words, فَحَدَّثْتُ بِهِ عُمَرُ So I talked about this to Umar. Yani Ibn Umar is saying, after the fact, he said, I talked about it to Umar. فَقَالَ لَوْ كُنْتَ قُلْتَهَا لَكَانَ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِنْ كَذَا وَكَذَا So Umar said to him, if you had said that, in the presence of the elders, yani, that would have been more beloved to me than such and such and so and so. Yani, that you had spoken. I mean, that's if anybody has children, then you know what that means. Yani, he would have been happy that his son was the only person out of all the people sitting there. He was the one who actually knew what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was referring to. In another narration, and we'll close with this one. That's reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Ibn Umar says, فَوَقَعَ فِي نَفْسِي أَنَّهَا النَّخْلَ So, it came to me and myself, I thought that it is the date palm tree. فَرَأَيْتُ أَبَا بَكْرٍ وَعُمَرٍ لَا يَتَكَلَّمَانِي فَكَرِحْتُ أَنْ أَتَكَلَّمْ He said, I thought that it was the date palm tree, but I saw Abu Bakr and Umar sitting there. And the two of them were not saying anything. So I disliked to speak, yani, while they were not saying anything. And this narration really makes clear, yani, what is mentioned in the other narrations, that it was out of respect for the people that he was sitting amongst. They were elderly, and even more than that, yani, Abu Bakr and Umar was sitting there. And he said, like, how can I speak? They're not saying anything. So I couldn't say anything. And in this narration it also mentions, goes on to say, so when I got up, I said to Umar, yani his father, radiallahu anhu, he said, Ya Abata, oh my dear father, Wallahi laqad waqa'a fi nafsi annaha nakhla. He said, by Allah, it came to me that it was the date palm tree. فَقَالَ مَا مَنَعَكَ أَن تَكَلَّمْ So he said, Umar said to him, what stopped you from speaking? قَالَ لَمْ أَرَكُمْ يعني تكلمونا I didn't see you all يعني the older people I didn't see you all speaking فقررت أن أتكلم أو أقول شيئا So I disliked to speak or even to say anything يعني I didn't feel that it was right for me to even speak while I'm just a young boy and everybody else are the respected elders قال عمر لن تكون قلتها أحب إلي من كذا وكذا He said if you had said it and it would have been more beloved to me Then such and such and so this narration came in Bukhari and Muslim. And the Shaykh closes by saying, وَالْأَمْثِلَ عَلَى ذَلِكَ كَثِيرًا وَسَيَأْتِي ذِكْرُ شَيْءٍ مِنْهَا He said the examples of this are many and the mention of some of them will come in what remains yani, from yani, this topic in the يعني what remains from the book. نعم. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت استغفرك وأتوب إليك. If there are any comments or questions or corrections, we'll take corrections now before the salat, and the rest of that we'll deal with later, inshallah. Any comments? I mean corrections, not comments. نعم. نعم. وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
If the meaning of the hadith is good, can you use it?
Okay, so I mean, we'll just, this is a question, this is not a correction, right? But inshallah we'll take it and then we'll stop here, inshallah. So if the meaning of the hadith is good, and I assume you mean good meaning if it's correct, right. Yani if it's confirmed as being truthful because of other sources that are reliable, then what?
Even though
we
say that it's weak.
Even if the isnad is weak. Right. Even if the chain of narratives is weak. So, I mean, basically, what we said early on is applicable, yani as an answer to your question. I'll just summarize what I said already. And that is that the scholars of hadith differ concerning this particular matter. Can we report, can we narrate a hadith yani that's classified as being weak? For whatever reason that it's classified as being weak. And the summary of the issue is that yani, even if the meaning is a meaning that's confirmed elsewhere, the scholars differed. Some scholars said, no, we do not narrate weak hadith. Yani, what has been, what has come to us, what has been relayed and conveyed and preserved for us in the books of hadith that are authentic, that are known to be authentic, are sufficient. We don't have any need to use hadith that are weak. That's one opinion. That's the opinion of some of the earlier scholars and contemporary scholars, from amongst them Sheikh al-Albani, rahimahullah, who discussed this issue in detail in his introduction to Sahih al-Targhib al-Tarhib. He has a lengthy discussion concerning it, and he mentions a lot of points that make us to understand that Allahu alam, but the better position is that we don't use weak hadith. In any case, there is another opinion from legitimate scholars of the people of Sunnah, and they said it's permissible to narrate that hadith, yani not to believe that it is confirmed as something authentic from the Prophet ﷺ, but the possibility that it could be, that is, if the weakness in it is not major, and if there's other supporting evidences for the basic principle that's contained in that hadith, any from other authentic hadith or from the Quran or whatever, that a person, and that this is used in things that what is referred to as fadal al-amal, yani it's used in, in reference to areas that just show the virtuous deeds that are confirmed in the Quran or in the Sunnah. Yani something that's confirmed, an act of worship that's confirmed, except that yani there's an encouragement to do that act in a hadith that its chain is not authentic. Yani so those scholars said that with those conditions, that it's permissible to narrate the hadith. It's permissible to narrate it. And other scholars said, no, it's not permissible to narrate. And that is probably, in Allahu A'lam, the stronger position, at least as I see it. And of course, obviously, there are scholars who hold the permissibility, right? So we don't negate their opinion. But and there are differences of opinion if we examine them carefully, and we have to weigh it. And both of them are not correct. And we don't say that there are differences of opinion and all of them are correct. No, they're not all correct. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت استغفرك وأتوب إليك. We have any few minutes before the Iqama. It's time for the Adhan right now, but we do have some time before the Iqama. So yani just be aware, yani if a person is going to stay here until the Salat, please let's not waste the time that we have sitting in the Masjid. Let's not waste that time. Let's utilize that time in the best way possible. Now, Adhan.